Gospel of Luke. Open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. You find that place, you're able to stand with us. Give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I sure appreciate those songs they was singing tonight, didn't you? I mean, it is good. And I'm glad I don't have to look very far to find the goodness of the Lord. And listen, you don't have to look very far either, friend. I appreciate right where we stand at. If you're breathing God's air, you're experiencing the goodness of God tonight. Amen. Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, I'm going to read a few places and then I'll try to bring the message. I feel like the Lord's laid on her heart. Verse number 7, the Bible says these words, said she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 12. The Bible says, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse number 16. Bible says, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 29. Bible says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you again for letting us come to the house of God. And Lord, we thank you for the good songs of Zion we heard. God, we are thankful that Lord did tonight, that God, that we are not celebrating Santa Claus, and God, we're not celebrating Toys R Us, or Lord, we're not celebrating new outfits, and God, we're not celebrating family, we're not even celebrating food. God, I'm glad that we came to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight that God should get real big in our hearts. Help us, Lord, and if tonight is the last night and I ever get to say something about you, Lord, I pray, help me to say the best thing that I ever had. And Lord, I pray tonight for those that are wayward. God, I pray, Lord, tonight would be the night that find their way home. God, I pray for those that are lost and undone. And oh God, if there'd be no better time than this night, God, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, you'd put a guard in my mouth and a bridle on my tongue. Help me not to say anything contrary to what you'd have us to say. And Lord, I sure love you tonight. Pray, God, you give us good liberty and unction to preach the word in Christ's name. And for his sake, we do humbly beg and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in a lot, obviously. I could have read the whole chapter, and about anywhere you would have started would have been good. But I wanted to call your attention in verse 7. The Bible says they laid him in a manger. In verse 12, it says he was lying in a manger. In verse number 16, the Bible says, and the babe lying in a manger. I got thinking about this as I understand these different scenes come in our mind. And when we get to thinking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think about who was over here, and we think about who was over here, and we've got in our minds these different images about what it looked like when the Lord was there. But when I was reading the Bible the other day, I got to thinking about, I'm sure if you're in the country and you've lived here very long, it was probably a time when you was a young man or maybe a young woman that you went out the door and you left the door open. And if you was a mom or dad in this place, you said the same thing that my mom or dad said to me. They said, were you born in a barn? Amen. And if the Lord would help me tonight, I'd like to preach on that subject on were you born in a barn? Amen. I want you to understand quite literally what they're saying. And when they say, were you born in a barn? That means there was a door that was shut that's now opened up. Amen. And that means, thank God, it's not been shut, but it is still open. I want to preach for just a few minutes of time on that. I'd say this, I sure am glad. And when the Lord came down to earth, friend, he opened up a door and it's still open today. Amen. And the word of God said it like this. Jesus said in John 10,
And he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and he shall find pasture. I thought about four doors, and I'm real glad that's still open in this day that we're in. And look with me, if you will, in verse 29. I'll try to give you three or four things tonight, and I'll be done. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 29, this is what the Bible said. He said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I thought, I thank God that he left the door open for those that were watching for him. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, that door had shut up for a lot of folk, and they had stopped looking for the Lord. But lo and behold, just like he said he would, he came right on time. Amen. I thank God in Galatians 4:4, it said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, and made of a woman, made under the law, and he might redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of son. And thank God, I'm glad he had not forgotten what he had promised way back when. I want to say this, friend. And you say, preacher, what difference that made? And listen, Jesus Christ is a surety of a New Testament. Amen. And that means, in other words, thank God. And for those that are watching for him, he's a sure thing. And you mark it down, friend. And listen, 4,000 years go by, and the Lord Jesus Christ had born right on time, and right where he said he'd be born, and the way he said he'd be born. And when he comes again, he's coming right on time the next time too. And you say, preacher, we ain't seen him yet. As 2 Peter 3:4 said, where is the promise of his coming? And be scoffers coming the last day, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? But I'm glad Paul answers that in the book of Hebrews 13. He said, yet a little while, and he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. Amen. I say, thank God. Listen, I'm glad that door's still open. And God has not shut the door on those that are looking for him. You can still find him today. Amen. I'm glad he's still able to be found. I thought about a few things. Listen, I'm glad that time doesn't stop that door. I thought about this. I'm glad that, friend, that all the enemies in the world, all the threats against Christ, none of them was able to stop him. I don't know that if we really understand this. I got to read me and Dustin got talking about it. I preached a message probably 15, 20 years ago, and about all the things that happened against Christ. And I mean, Brother Dustin got talking about the other night, and it stirred it back up in me again. And I want to say this to you. I don't know if you know it or not, but the lineage of Christ on 5 different occasions, it came down to just one person. On 5 different occasions, it was just one person left, and God still brought his son out of that one person. Hey, you say, who was he? Well, first of all, friend, I really do believe. I believe all my heart whenever there's wickedness over the land and the thoughts of men were only evil continually. I believe the devil thought God was going to kill everybody in Genesis chapter 6. But there was one man. Amen. In Genesis 6:8, he was still looking. And the Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I'm glad, listen, it's an open door to those that are still looking. I thought about, thank God they get off the boat, and the devil don't really understand who all he's attacking. He don't know where that promised seeds are coming from. But then the Lord just sort of opens it up, and he brings out Abraham. And to listen, it gets even better than that. And when he brings out Abraham in Genesis 21, he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It got down to one person. And when they march up Mount Moriah, the devil thinks, man, I got it won. But what he found out, it was that Abraham was still looking for a door. Amen. And on the other side, it was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Amen. It got down to one person. I thought about this. Listen, friend. And then it came down to Jacob and Esau. And the Bible says in Malachi, I think it's chapter 3, maybe verse 1 and 2, and something like that. He said, Jacob have I loved. And he said, Esau have I hated. And so we come down, friend. And then there's just one little Jacob. And then we find that I believe that, and whenever the devil understands that promised seed's coming out of Jacob, he starts attacking it. But he's got 12 that he can attack. And but listen, then Lord even specified it further. He said, I'm going to bring it out of one. I believe he probably thought it was going to come out of Reuben and then maybe out of Levi and probably out of Simeon. And but the Lord had hit a little fella named Judah and the man out of Judah. And here he came in Genesis 49:10. And so the devil attacks Judah. And now listen, don't miss this. This may not make you shout, but it ought to make you happy. I'll tell you what happened in this life. Oh, Judah comes out there, and there's a promise given to Judah in Genesis 49:10. He said that the scepter would not depart out of Judah, nor the lawgiver between his feet. He said, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gate of the people be. And thank God there was a king coming out of that crowd. And at Jesse, there came a man named David. And out of David, and the Lord made a promise with him. He said, he'll sit on your throne. Amen. And so now the Lord or the devil knows who to attack. And not only do I need to attack Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not only do I need to attack Judah, but I also need to attack that line that comes out of David. And he got it down to one person. And there was a day in 2 Kings 11, and there's an old wicked woman named Athaliah, and she killed every one of the king's seed except for one, a little fella named Joash. And the Lord just put him up in his arms and wrapped him up, and he hit him. And you know where he hit him at? Hit him in the house of God. Amen. Oh yes, listen. And right in the house of God. And then all of a sudden she's sitting on the throne, and the devil thinks he's won. And all of a sudden little Joash peeks out, and the lion is still alive. Amen. Hey, you understand, friend? That comes all the way down. He thinks he's going to get rid of him in the time of the Maccabees and all of that. But when you open up your Bible and you open it up to Luke chapter 2, and what you find is that despite the best efforts of the devil, he was born on time. Amen. And listen, friend, don't miss this. Even as he was born there, what you find is the devil thought, I believe I'll just kill everybody under two and make sure I get him real good. And but oh, listen, ain't it something that the Lord's always about? I don't know, give or take 100 million steps ahead of the devil. Amen. And so he takes that, he takes him and he calls him down into Egypt. An angel warned Joseph by a dream and went down to Egypt, and after his death, he called him back out. Amen. Saying this, he tried to kill him his whole life, but every time he tried to kill him, and the Lord would just slip out right among them, and the Lord depart right out from them, and the devil thought, man, I'm going to kill him yet. And then all of a sudden, thank God, and the devil says, we've won, and Judas has betrayed him, we've turned him over to Pilate, and we've got him, we've striped him, it's all over now. And they put him up on the cross, and what they thought was the end, and thank God, was only the beginning. Amen. I'm telling you this, thank God. And when you read this passage, I'm glad he still has not shut the door. And to those that are watching and those that are waiting, won't you watch this? In your Bible, notice the next verse. In verse number 30, the Word of God says to us, he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And not only is the door open to those that are watching, but I'm glad the door's open still to the wicked. Amen. I'm glad God ain't shut the door and to those that are lost and on their way to hell. And listen to me, friend. And the Lord could have let a few in. He could have let Peter in. He could have let Paul in. And he could have slammed the door in all of our faces. But thank God he was born in a barn and the door's still open. Amen. I'm glad you say, preacher, I've heard it. You've all heard it said like this. He said, man, that door's slowly closing. And that is not so, friend. That door's wide open. It's as wide open today as it has been for the last 2,000 years. And the call comes out, whosoever will, and let him come. Amen. I think that's right, don't you? I don't think we're down to a stream. I got thinking about this. I'm glad where we stand at. We've got enough to get us in. I mean, listen, to figure out how to get there. And you say, preacher, how do you get born again? I'll tell you this, thank God. How the old wicked was looking for some different ways how to figure out how salvation. And you understand there's no way we could get to the door in heaven. And so God sent the door down to earth, had to get us out of hell. I can't figure all that out. But as I'm going to hell, I'm going to heaven because I found the door on the earth. Amen. But now mark this down straight and tall. Because I got in the door on the earth, and thank God in Revelation chapter number 4, that one day there's going to be a door opened up in heaven. And the old John the Revelator said, he said, behold, I saw, and a door is opened in heaven. And he said, and the first voice that spoke unto me, he says, like a voice of a trumpet. He said, and it said, come up hither, amen. And guess what he did? Thank God. He went, friend. And you say, how do you get to the door in heaven? I've got to go through the door down here on earth, amen. Only way to get in, thank God. I'll say this, friend. I'm sure glad I'm not a shepherd. I'm not being led by an angel. And I'm glad I'm not a wise man. I ain't a following a star. I'm glad I'm not in a cult. We're not following the cunningly devised fables, amen. But I'm glad standing right where we're standing at. I've got a King James Bible in my hand. Amen. Let me say it again to you. Thank God. I don't have an ESV, an NIV, or any other. I've got a King James. I've got a King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of it. Thank God. I still love the one that it is. I'm not backing up on that. Thank God. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what it teaches us over there in Isaiah 49. It said, and a way shall be there, and it shall be a highway, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Hey, boy, and I like it. He said, though wayfaring men and though fools shall not err therein. I'm glad, thank God. It's a good enough way. Even a fool can find himself into heaven if he'll just go, amen. You can't mess it up, amen. I thank God. Listen, you ought to shout a little while on that. I'm sure everybody in here, probably when you got saved, you know, you probably prayed the best prayer and you know all that sort of thing. And somebody probably led you down a 45-word prayer and all that. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me, friend. If you got saved, you got saved the same way I did. You did not go into heaven head first, and you're not going to heaven mouth first. If you go into heaven, you'll go heart first, amen. A man believes in the heart, amen, and confesses with his mouth. I'll say this to you, and I want you to understand. I was talking with a lady just Sunday night, and she called me and she said, preacher, and she was crying, tore up on the phone pad. I mean, she was tore up. And she said, preacher, and she said, they're trying to talk me out of my salvation. And she said, every time I go to church, and they say, well, if you've done this or that, you ain't saved. And she said, oh, I don't know about any of that. And she said, but I've asked God to forgive me of it. And she said, and he has. And she said, but they still keep trying to tell me if you've done this or that. And at the end of that thing, I said, let me ask you this. I said, do you have a person, or is everything you got tied up in a place? And she started crying. She said, oh no. And she said, the Lord saved me from my sins. I said, listen, that's Bible salvation, amen. I don't know what else to tell you, good neighbor. I don't know how much harder. I mean, I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad I didn't have to hold my mouth just right. I didn't even know how to pray, amen. And let me be sure of this. The only prayer I knew is, and now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Father, my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. That's real spiritual, amen. That's about the only prayer I knew. But I'll tell you what I did know that night. I knew that I was on my way to hell, and I found out the door was still wide open, amen. I'm glad, thank God, friend, listen. We've got an entire Bible that lines out the path. It lines out the way. And you say, preacher, where does it take me to? I think if you're going to get saved, it'll take you right by the Garden of Eden. And my friend, it'll take you right there. And where man lost everything he ever had with God, it'll take you to that place of nakedness. And that place where you realize you're a sinner. I believe it'll take you up to Golgotha, friend. I believe it'll take you out to the Mount of Olives. I believe it'll take you to several places. It'll probably take you up Mount Sinai and show you that you're a sinner, where the law was handed down. It'll take you up to Gethsemane, where you realize you're a sinner. Amen. Hey, thank God. I ain't talking about going to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Amen. What kind of questions I had? Thank God. I've seen folks get in a house and listen. They'll just stand out and they'll say, everybody who wants to go to heaven, now y'all just come pray. Have the only problem with that, that's not in the Bible, amen. That's everybody wants to look at me. Everybody who knows anything about anything that wants to go to heaven, amen. That's not the question. And the Bible says the only way that you're going to get there is to have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, there's a time and a place that where the weightiness of your sin and not necessarily what you've done, but who you are, amen. And thank God, listen, that'll help some madness. It's who you are, amen. And apart from the grace of God, you're still that person, thank God. But oh, listen, I'm glad there's a time that God deals with you about being a sinner. And you say, preacher, I could never live a Christian life. And no sinner can, amen. And listen to me, let me run that by you again. And there ain't no sinner ever led a Christian life, amen. But thank God, I'll tell you who can. Christians, amen. Christians can lead a Christian life. Hey, you know why that is? Thank God. Now listen, and I love Tanner and Heath. My, listen, we're as good a friend as you can be. I want you to listen to me. Oh, Tanner could, he'd have to shrink a little bit, and he wouldn't have to be able to grow as good a beard. But he could come hang out at my house, and he'd say, I'm Kevin's boy. But listen, that won't never work, amen. It won't never work. Now, he can try to live the life. But at some point in time, there's going to be a DNA test. And that DNA test, when the will's read, it's going to say he belongs to Jeremy Christenberg and to Pam. Amen. But I got three boys. They don't have no problem being my boys because they was born into my family. Amen. And I'm telling you this, thank God. And the reason that they, some folks, and that they can't act like a Christian because they ain't a Christian. Amen. Thank God. But I'll tell you what'll help them, amen. As they get born again, how they can drop the act and just start being a Christian, amen. I'm not perfect, but forgiven, amen. I'm glad I'm saved, hallelujah, amen. Oh, yes, listen. I'm glad that door's still open, ain't you? Hey, me, listen. Uh-oh, the Simeon said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Hey, is the door open for the wicked? Hey, listen, I'm glad tonight, thank God, that it is whoso, it doesn't matter. Listen, I've been asked this about 100 times over the years. There's always folks that'll ask me this question. And they'll say, Brother Kevin, they say, who can God and not save? Amen. And I don't know if that's a trick question or what. Oh, there's some crowd in Romans chapter number 1 that they are reprobate. I understand that. And you say, what are the reprobate? The Bible says those folks who do not want to retain God in their knowledge. Amen. And so they've been given over to a bunch of different sins. It's not just homosexuality. Y'all understand that. I mean, there's a whole list of sins there. You know, Baptists, they like to cherry pick the ones that they... I'm not trying to kill the meeting, but the gist of that thing is this. It's the people who don't want to retain God right here. And you can be as straight as a board, amen, and not want to retain God up here. And God deal with you time and time again and get to a place where your conscience is seared and eventually you become reprobate. But that's not my business and it sure ain't yours either, amen. I don't go around trying to figure out who's in and who's out. And my responsibility is to lift up my voice, cry aloud like a trumpet, spare not, let the Holy Ghost deal, and at the end of it, it'll be what God's will is, amen. Yes, you don't know, and I don't neither. Right. Some people you think will be there ain't going to be there. Right. Some people you don't think will be there probably be there. Yeah. Well, let me move on. I'm happy. I want to keep being happy tonight. I'm saying this, thank God, listen, hey, some doors that are still open. Ain't you glad he didn't shut that door? I mean, I don't know. Look here, this makes me happy right here. Next verse, verse 32, he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Man alive. I'll tell you, thank God, y'all, thank God the door's open. And to those that are watching and waiting, the door's still open to the wicked. I'm glad the door's open to those that are weak. I mean, listen, he said he'd be a light to lighten the Gentiles. I got to think about this. Listen, let me just, you turn over with me real quick. If I can, I'll find it. Romans chapter number 9, it's better for me to read it than it is for me to even say it. But in Romans chapter number 9, verse 25, I want you to see this. This is what he's talking about to the Gentile people at verse number 25. As he saith also in Osi, which is Hosea, he said, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, and there shall they be called the children of the living God. I'm going to say this, friend. We ought to stop back every time we walk into the house of God as Gentiles with our heels clicked up saying hallelujah to God and to God in heaven even let us in, amen. He said there's a time you wasn't my people. There's a time you wasn't beloved. Time you wasn't my children. I got thinking about that. I'm glad the Lord opened up a door to the nation.
You say, you don't look like a Jew. I'm not one outwardly, but I am one inwardly. Outwardly, I'm still whatever I am. Inwardly, thank God, Jew. Amen. Been circumcised not with the laying on of hands, but the circumcision by the Spirit of God. Cut off the old stony part of my heart. Give me a new heart. Amen. Ain't that right? Thank God. I believe that's right. He let me into the nation. And if that's not even good enough, he let me into his family. Amen. I mean, what about a God in heaven that would put somebody like me and you, amen, into the very family of God? And if that's not good enough, he left a door open to his heart. Amen. He said, y'all come right in my heart and live and abide right there. Amen. Boy, that's pretty something special. There ain't no, listen, I don't know if y'all know this. Maybe it'll help you. There ain't no Hutchins that are Jews. Amen. There ain't no Jew Neils. Amen. Burke is not a Jewish name. Best I know, there ain't nobody in here a Jew. IPOC ain't. Last time I checked, Sexton ain't either. Not many Jew Garretts. Here we sit. Here we sit. On the outside, looking in. Best we can do. But listen, ain't it? Wouldn't it be something if over there, I think it's about Isaiah chapter number 11, when he said that there shall be a root of Jesse. And he said, an ensign to the people. He said, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. Amen. That word ensign, we don't use that much. That's a banner. I done lost my banner. That's a banner, thank God. He said, they'll come and die and they'll lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, what the Gentiles won't run, or what the Jews won't run to, the Gentiles will. Amen. I'm so glad, thank God, there came a time. I was talking with a fellow one time and he was talking about how much they didn't like missionaries. And I said, well, if I was you, and of course, I probably told this here before. I said, if I was you, I think I'd just tear out the entire New Testament and I'd go back on everything God ever done. Because if it wasn't for a missionary named Paul, you wouldn't have never got the gospel. Amen. Do you think that's right? Y'all say, this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. These people say, man, I'd love to hear Paul preach. Boy, I'd love to hear. Listen, the people who heard Paul didn't even like to hear Paul preach. That's what the Bible says, ain't it? He said his letters, they're weighty and powerful, but his speech is contemptible, and his bodily presence is weak. That's what they said about him. Not Creflo Dollar, the Apostle Paul. They said, boy, he can write real powerful, ain't much of a preacher. But the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica, the problem was, he said he did not come in word only. I think that's 1 Thessalonians 1:5, something like that. He didn't come in word only, but in power of the Spirit, or power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I'm saying this to you, friend. There's a little more to this than just an orator. Takes a little more than just words to get in your heart. You find the best speakers in the Word. That don't make them a preacher. Oh, Paul gets up here and he stumbles and stammers and you say, I would never be used like that. What about old Moses and how he stammered around? Somehow or another, ain't it amazing that God used somebody like that? And that when he walked away from it, nobody was saying, hey, it's because Paul was a great preacher. It's because Jesus is a great God. Amen. Thank God. All right, well, I'm about done. I'm trying to. He said a light to lighten the Gentiles. He said, and then the glory. I'm glad that it's a door that's still open for the weak. I'm glad it's a door still open for the wounded. He ain't shut that door yet. Man, Israel, they've been wounded. They've been under national distress. They've been overtaken. They've been overcome. They've been overwhelmed. Preacher, they's in a bad way. They's in a bad way. In a dark time. And Sam, it didn't look like it was getting no better. The Romans were on the throne. They were persecuting the Jews. They didn't have nothing. Didn't have nobody. They thought, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. Probably a time a little bit like this. Inflation's up, you know. Nobody likes whoever. It don't matter who's the president, a Republican or a Democrat. Everybody hates them anyway. Say amen. Y'all know that's right. Listen, the only flag I'm going to ever fly in this place will be a King Jesus flag. I want to make sure everybody's real clear on. Let me run that by you again. I like that flag. I love this one. I like that one. I love this one.
Yes, sir.
I'm this before I'm that. Listen, this flag right here, I'm a Christian first. Y'all with me all right there? I got folks in America, they feel like that they're Americans before they're Christians. That's not how this thing works. Y'all thank God you are an American, but you better thank God you're... There may be a time, there will be a time, Zechariah chapter number 14, when all nations shall rise up against Israel. You going to fly that flag then?
No, sir.
Come on now. Somebody don't die on me right there. I'm an American through and through. Listen, we'll do what we need to do. I'm for everybody defending this country. But listen, I'm for everybody defending this faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. I'm going to have to move on. Israel's a wounded. They're a reed that had been bruised. A nation, listen to me, a nation that had been disbanded. Terrible, 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 terrible. Till the door was opened. And I don't know if you know it yet or not, but the Lord Jesus said that Israel was His glory, and it still is. And He ain't changed His mind on it. And I'll tell you, that door's opened so good that whenever Israel comes through that door, I'll tell you how that's going to happen, friend. We already know 1948, Ezekiel chapter number 37, they already reformed as a nation. That's something pretty special. Bone came to bone, sinew came to sinew, flesh on flesh. Mighty army stood up, but they ain't got no breath in them. But they's coming today, God's going to put breath in them. And then He's going to put sight in them. He's going to restore their sight. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear, they're going to say, "What are those wounds that are in your hand?" They're going to say, "Who's this coming from Bozra with his garments dyed in red?"
Yes, sir.
Then they're going to know who He is.
Amen.
They're going to give Him a sight back. Yep. Give Him their mind back. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, "He's the King." I'm just saying this. I'm glad where we're standing at today, there's still doors that are open.
Amen.
My dad, if he said it one time, he said 100,000 times. He said, "Was you born in the barn?" He said, "Shut the door."
Yeah.
I tell you what he'd do to me sometimes. I ain't trying to be funny. I'm being honest with you. You know what he'd do to me sometimes, Rick? If I didn't shut the door and I went out it, he'd come behind me and he'd shut it. He'd lock it.
Whoa.
Oh my. We're living in a day of grace right now.
Yes,
but you understand that everybody that's heard the gospel, there's going to be a day that that door's going to shut. And when it shuts, you're locked out. It's serious.
Yeah.
There's more to the birth of Christ than everybody sitting around and singing jingle bells and all of that. It was the birth of a Savior. He came to save us from our sins. I've cleared my heart. Stand to your feet. I'm glad that door's open tonight. If you're in any of those, you're in a weak place, you're in a wounded place, you're in a wicked place, and you need the Lord. And I can't think of a better time to come trust Christ than tonight. Wherever you stand at, as Allison comes and plays some whatever song she's going to sing, what about it, friend?